Dawala Kenya, Dawala.
Dawala Kenya, Dawala. Hai, hoi, Dawala Kenya, Dawala.
Dawala Kenya, Dawala.
Dawala Kenya, Dawala. Hai, hoi, Dawala Kenya, Dawala.
Unaongoza vyema.
Unaongoza vyema. Hai, hoi, unaongoza vyema.
Unaongoza.
Spot the good spot, the gram spot, where all the G's meet. Back again with another episode, and it's been a moment, it's been a whole minute, but I'm glad we're back. So in today's episode, we're going to talk about something that is quite how do I put it, something that is going to stir a lot of emotions in most people, but I felt it is a conversation that really needs to be given a lot of relevance, and it shouldn't be taken lightly, as we most of us presume. I've been thinking a lot, right, over the last couple of days, and the many observations that I've made throughout the year. You know, it's been a crazy 2022, 2021, 2020 was lockdown. The world has just been in shambles. A lot of things have just been going wayward. And one of the things that really stood out for me, and I felt like we need to talk about this, is how the current age of men is being feminized, you know, the feminization of the modern man. And it's quite an interesting topic, right? Because there are so many angles you can look at it from. It's something that is up to debate on so many levels. But I'm going to give my view and my perception of what I think about this whole agenda of the feminized man, the feminine man, the man who can connect to his feminine side more. You see, it's going to be quite controversial, but I'll try, you know, tread softly and try to air out my message in a way that won't come out as very offensive, but at the same time, should be very educative and insightful in one way or another, right? So before we go any further, I'd like us to listen to this small snippet of our conversation. This is a woman speaking about how we are being feminized as men in the current, in the modern world. I want us to listen, and then we can keep doing our examples and listening to more different people tell us their idea of this whole concept, okay? So let's start with this.
There's two reasons why men are feminized. We live in a femme-centric society. Men are being raised by women. When they're not at home, then they're in school being taught and raised by women, in a world whereby everything is catered to women, whereby the messaging from the media is, don't be toxically masculine, it's okay to cry, it's okay to show your feelings. They're like pushing all this like feminine energy onto men, and I don't think that is just a coincidence. I think the reason they're doing this is because it's the men that go to war, and it's the men that fight. So when tyranny comes, it's the men that go first. If you're able to control the men and you're able to feminize the men, then you're able to control society to a much greater extent. Mm-hmm. You know, especially with the last 2 years. And if we lived in a society whereby like men were more masculine and they weren't busy with their rainbow flags and switching genders and all that, I don't think that like the last 2 years would have gone as far as it did.
That is basically, you know, feminization of men hasn't really taken a lot of root in the African culture, although it is starting to take root. But you see, the thing is, in the current world where we live in, it's more about trends, you see. Things like making a man more effeminate is something that has been trending in the West for so long. But now, slowly, over the last couple of years, we're seeing that transition happening into the African culture more and more as you're embracing this Western ideology of, you know, becoming more feminine as a man. You get. So this is this lady is from the States. That's why she has very, very, you know, very, very, how do I put it? She has very, very serious, let's say serious remarks with regard to this whole conversation. But the question really is, what is feminization of men? What does it mean to feminize someone? What does it really mean? What does it entail? So I got a definition here, right? So feminization is literally to give feminine quality to something, or it could be to cause a male to take on a more feminine character, to encourage a male character to become more like a feminine character, you know. Traditionally, when you look at the traditional man, he was not in touch with his feelings as the more modern man. But that, I think, correlates with the levels of testosterone in the last couple of years. We've seen the levels of testosterone, which is like the male driving hormone, decrease rapidly over the last years. I mean, in the year around 1950s or let's say 60s, a 70 or 60 year old man actually had more test in him than right now what we have in a 30 year old male. It makes a very big difference. But I mean, it makes sense also scientifically that the more testosterone you have, the more masculine you tend to be. But I mean, it also correlates with the fact that, you know, the less of it you have, it means the more likely that you'll display more feminine features and behavior and character, you know, all those things. That's the whole idea of how I drew my conclusion. But here's the thing, yeah? Ask ourselves, why is it that this agenda is being propagated so much? That is what we really want to understand. Why is it the fact that, what are the facts and what are the possible ideologies behind the propagation of this agenda for most of the men out here to embrace that femininity in them, okay? So, quite interestingly, as I was doing my research on this topic today, I came across a very controversial book. There's a book called Feminizing Men. It's actually a book. You guys should check it out online. I'll give you a small synopsis of the book. It's basically a guide for males to achieve maximum feminization. It's written by Barbara DeLotto and Thomas Eugene. So it's basically a book that helps men to embrace things like cross-dressing and femininity. Makes a lot of sense because those are the things that we're seeing currently happening in our country, for example. So let's say, like in the recent past, we've seen a lot of our social media influencers, a lot of our movie actors, you know, all these people who are engaged in mainstream media, dressing more like feminine, like women, so that they can get, you know, deals out here, so they can get endorsements and such kind of things. Begs the question a lot, why are they really doing this? Why is it now that for you to be successful in the media industry, for example, be it a comedian, be it an influencer, you should take or embrace cross-dressing, for example, right? And you embrace cross-dressing, for example, yeah? You're dressing more like a woman, talking more like a woman. It won't take you a very long time before you're on mainstream media advertising something, endorsing something. It makes us wonder a lot, why does this really happen? Why is it that the current man is being encouraged to be more like a woman, unlike our traditional ancestors, our traditional men back in the day? Quite interesting, right? We ask ourselves such kind of questions and we want to find answers. So before we continue, I want us to listen to something again. I have a lot of clips we're going to play. I like playing these clips because, you see, this is not a conversation where we are talking with someone. It's not like an interview kind of podcast. This is a kind of podcast where it's more of a monologue, right? So getting another person's view becomes even better. So let's listen to this.
Yo, what's up? Where are the hoes at? I'm joking. Is your daughter here?
Okay, yes, we can laugh. because it is satire, but the first part is real, okay? And that is the feminization of men, and that is the messaging targeted at young men. They are making it cool and trendy to wear crop tops and wear makeup and, you know, have nail polish on if you're a dude. Just look at Harry Styles and Machine Gun Kelly, right? All the girls flock to them, but that's not reality, okay? And they are feminizing men. The same way that they're making women more masculine, they are making men more feminine. So wake up to this. This is programming directed at young men, okay?
So that audio clip I just played is a short, how do I put it? A short clip of a guy you had where he says, yo, what's up? The whole that it's a guy who's dressed like a chick, and he's going to see a young lady at her home. So there's a belief or there's a notion that if he is dressed like a lady, he has worn a crop top and stuff. So when he does that, he goes to this girl's home, he knows it will be easily accepted, you get. So here's the thing, yeah? This is the whole idea of feminization of men. Men are being more, they're being encouraged more, become more like women, so that their lives can actually be easier. So to justify this, I went and did a little bit more of research, and I wanted to know what is the ratio of men who are transitioning to women versus the ratio of women who are transitioning to men. And obviously, I don't think this is even debatable. The number of men who are actually changing, you see right now that we have enabled things like hormone therapy and transgender, all those things. The number of men who are actually transitioning to become women is higher than the number of women who are transitioning to men. Quite interesting, yeah? Okay, now let's look at even the skits we see on our TVs these days, the skits we see on TikTok, on whatever application or platform that you access your social media from. Rarely will you see a chick dressing like a man and doing a skit on anything. Rarely will you see that. But now, go and observe the number of men who have to dress up like women to do skits and become relevant. So it's quite interesting when you observe these dynamics, but you can see a trend here. Men these days are being encouraged more to actually be more like women, be in touch with their feelings, you know, to be emotional and stuff. But I don't think that is the context or the concept of the reality of a functional world. We can't live in a world whereby we have men who are more like women, because I don't think it would make sense to have a man who has, you see, a man genetically, he is more predisposed to be strong, right? Genetically, men are stronger than women in terms of physical prowess, right? So you have a man who is strong in terms of strength, but at the same time, he is trying to take up the image of a woman. It's quite dangerous to be in such a position, you know? When we look at the original tenets of masculinity, the original tenets, like masculinity, what it really stood for, it stood for things like courage, right? Things like strength and emotional tenacity. But now what we're seeing, we're being encouraged to embrace, is quite the opposite of that, right? We used to embrace things like independence, things like being protective of our homes, being purposeful in our missions in life, in whatever that we do, but things have changed drastically. And I believe that this, how do I put it? We've put the pyramid upside down, basically. It was a pyramid, now it is almost like a prism, because we flipped the pyramid of how life is supposed to be. And I went and further dug into this whole concept of making men more effeminate, you know, creating a society where we are basically liberal in terms of our sexuality. And it's quite funny that in most of those societies that have collapsed in the many, many years ago, we had the Roman Empire, we had the Syrian Empire, you know, all those empires, the Mongolian Empire. At the end of all these societies, before they crumbled, this one thing that really happened is the fact that this idea of creating a sexually liberal society whereby men can be women, men can be men, we can engage in sexual activity in any way we want. That is how most of those societies crumble. I don't know if our society is really crumbling or we're getting to that point, but the fact that we are feminizing our men, the fact that our Hollywood stars have to wear dresses in some of their in their movies. I remember, I think there's a movie where The Rock is basically the definition of what we expect to be traditional masculinity. He's strong, you know, he's purposeful, you know, he's all those things that the traditional man would actually look and admire. But in some of his movies, he has to be encouraged, or he has to be put in a position where he has to wear things like dresses. You know, it's basically showing that showing that deep down, even if this man is portrayed as to be very muscular and all those things that we believe is masculinity, you know what? This guy deep down, he has some sense of femininity in him. You know, there's that encouragement of us to embrace it more and more. But I've seen that the downside of this whole idea, it's more. So I went further and asked myself, do women prefer the traditionally masculine man or this modern feminine man? That is the next thing I wanted to find out, really. So I did more research and I found this interesting concept by Jordan Peterson, and I'd want to share it with you. Maybe you guys can listen and you try and get the meaning or the gist of what he's trying to say. You can relate to it. So let's listen to what Jordan Peterson has to say with regard to what do women really prefer. Is it the traditionally masculine man or this modern feminine man? And on today's episode, we're going to share a lot of views from women with regard to this concept. So let's listen to Jordan Peterson and then we'll listen ahead. You know, we have so much to do and to listen to, so keep in tune.
If you track women through their ovulation cycle and you show them a picture of a man, same man, and you do nothing but vary his jaw width, when they're ovulating, the guy with the wider jaw is more attractive, and when they're not ovulating, the farthest away from that, the guy with the thinner jaw is more attractive, and that's associated with testosterone levels. And so women who are fertile like more masculine men, and basically if you're on the pill, then you're never in that ovulation phase. And so one thing that may have happened, and I don't know this for sure, but it's interesting to consider, is that since women have been taking the birth control pill, their preference for less masculine men has become more pronounced. And that could easily be one of the things that's fueling at least some of the tension that's existed and exists now politically between men and women.
So that is Jordan's theory of basically why women in the current age will prefer the more feminine men, why men will be more encouraged to embrace this femininity. You see, the femininity about themselves in this current age. Why possibly you would be having people being told, you know what, you can do all those things that traditionally a female will be encouraged to do, and still it's okay, you are a man, but you're encouraged to do all these things. As you assume a more feminine energy into yourself, it ensures the success of the overall setup of, you know, hormonal contraceptives and the effects on women's emotions. But that's a whole other conversation. I just wanted us to find a reasoning as to why we would be encouraged right now to be more feminine, especially by our women who will tell us, who will encourage us to be in touch with the emotions, you know, to cry whenever we want. I mean, those are not concepts of a traditional masculine man, but all in all, those are still concepts. So we want to ask ourselves another question, right? Not really a question, but it's something I wanted us to listen to. I have a lot of things that I collect across the internet. I want us to listen to this one. Then we also see if you have a different perspective of things, you know, understand things from a different degree.
Right,
I do think things are changing. I think men are becoming more feminine. Sure. But do you know what that's led to? Women sleeping with a smaller and smaller and smaller percentage of men. So some dating app statistics say it's 5% of men that are sleeping with everybody.
100%.
Yeah, 5%, 10%, 15%, 20% are sleeping with 80 to 100% of women.
Makes a lot of sense, right? When we think of it, basically. At the end of the day, we can never negotiate genuine desire between men and women. It's something that has existed for so long. And even when it comes to things, the primary concept and the primary idea of having sex is basically procreation. That is why whenever, let's say, baboons are mating, for example, they have to have this fight whereby they have the female has to select the strongest male to continue breeding with her. So technically, if we have a high number of more feminine men in our societies, what will happen is it translates to fewer men sleeping with women, because naturally a woman will prefer a very masculine man to sleep with. If the goal is procreation, that is, but the driving factor of sex, whether it's for pleasure or whatever, a woman will always select something that is closest to, because there's always that chance of procreation could happen, right? Even if it's for pleasure, right? There's that chance that procreation could happen. So definitely, the woman will tend to sleep with the more masculine man as it ensures strong genetic conversion to the next generation. It's psychological. Those are things that we can't really debate about, because those are things that come naturally, even from the animal kingdom itself. So it does make us a lot of sense when we relate to what Jordan said versus what we are experiencing right now. It makes a lot of sense that the fuckboy narrative is going to become predominant in this current age, because a very select number of men are going to have access to a very, very large array of women. Women are very selective with who they sleep with. That's for a fact. They're the gatekeepers of sex in our society. But all these concepts are directed to one very centralized place. I mean, at the end of the day, we'll ask ourselves, does our society really need feminine men? And personally, I don't think we do need feminine men. Feminine men are actually a threat to our society, if I'd say that. Yeah. When you think of it, I think when we have a society filled with so many feminine men, we become easy to control. Because becoming more feminine means embracing your femininity. It means that you downplay most of your testosterone and the first step of things like hormone therapy is replacing your test with the female hormone, which is estrogen, right? That will be the first step. So it means if we are going to embrace more of this feminine energy and accept ourselves as women or feminine men as they call themselves, what will happen is we'll have a society of men who are not ready to make a difference. That's my idea. That's how I think of it. I mean, if we have men who are very feminine, we have a society of men who I can term as weak. Yes, I can say that. They're easy to control, easy to manipulate, and that is why I feel like most governments are going to push for this agenda. When we look at the current society, we do not have revolutionaries anymore, as the level of testosterone is just dropping decade after decade. We do not have Martin Luther's of this generation. We do not have the Malcolm X's of this generation, people who are focused on their goals, who are purposeful. We do not even have inventions anymore. In this current age, innovation is basically what we are doing more. But invention, I feel like it's something that is no longer happening. And I think I can attribute it to, you know, the levels of decreasing testosterone, which has related to men becoming more feminine. Okay? I mean, let's see. A long time ago, people were always standing against tyranny. You know, people would go riot in our streets. Not that I'm saying it's a good thing, but it correlates. There are things called correlation, right? The higher the testosterone, the more likely you're going to revolt as a society, to say no to certain things, to engage in violence as a way of mediation, right? I'm not advocating for violence, but what I'm trying to say is that we become more controlled as people because men lead every modern age and every modern society. Every society that we've experienced since the beginning of life till now, the man has always been the leader of that society. But the more we make the man effeminate, the easier it is to control this man. We change things. I mean, we can curtail the rights of people and no one is going to complain because, come on, what do you expect? This man is not going to go to the street and say no to certain things. And I think, and I believe that the effeminate man is actually a big danger to our society. Because who is going to solve our issues as a society if the men are not willing to put themselves in, you know, the line of duty to do certain tasks that we were supposed to do from the very beginning? You know, saying no to tyranny being one of them. And I believe that is the greatest challenge that we have as men of this age. I mean, how don't we rise up against the evils of the society? You see, when we began this episode, the first clip we had was that young lady who said that, look at the things that have happened in the last couple of years since 2020. If the men were as masculine as they were in the 1950s, the 1960s, most of those things would never have happened. People would say no. We would never, the men of the olden age would never embrace or accept such kind of mediocrity in our society. But right now, we are accepting all kinds of stuff, all kinds of trash is just being propagated through our media, and no one is really willing to say no to certain things. So, yeah, that's it for today, I think. It makes a lot of sense that a society with feminine men cannot be a functional society. It will eventually crumble. It will lead to the demise of so many, but, you know, it is what it is. So, before we finish up, just listen to this final clip and then we can just call it a day. Meet again. So listen.
If I could pick every single day, I would choose every single day to be a woman. Okay, you know I mean, like, me I do too. Not want to be a man. The men are out there fighting the wars. They're the ones falling off of roofs and dying. And nobody, let me, there's like a meme on the internet that says, nobody calls a feminist when there's an emergency. Like, and seeing this anti-masculinity is bad. No, masculinity is great. I love masculinity.
I do too.
I need a shirt that just says, I love masculinity. It's great.
I love men who love women.
Right. Right.
A lot of men don't. A lot of women don't like women either. There's some truth.
And there is some truth, but unfortunately, when you are starting to conflate masculinity with rape, which is what's happening.
Yeah.
Like, if you're masculine, then you're a predator. No. Masculinity is the opposite of femininity. And I like being feminine, and men should like being masculine, and it's symbiotic, and it's beautiful, and it's now being corrupted. Mm-hmm.